Today on Real Radio.
If a man steals a horse, when does he become a horse thief? Well, according to God, the reason why he stole the horse is because he is a horse thief. You don't become a horse thief when you steal the horse. You steal the horse because you're a horse thief.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible. It's a topical series which examines those scripture passages that guide us and command us and teach us how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Now, currently, our teacher is delivering a series within a series called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. And as we have been indicating, whether you are in college or high school, or even if you are an educator and a believer, you do not want to miss this presentation. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Anti-life on our school campuses says things like this: it's my life. Only my life matters to me. As long as I can make my own decisions and do my own thing, it's all about me, and then I'm going to do away with this tissue. Listen, a lot of kids today believe that because they've been told it's just tissue, you can do away with it. It's like an infection. Just get it out. Go and take care of it. I want to give you a verse. This is a serious verse, remarkable verse. Micah 6, verse 7 says, "Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams?" I mean, I'll just wash my hands over and over again, or I'll just give him all the money or give him everything I can. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my sin, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You see, pro-life, you guys, just intellectually, the moment someone becomes pregnant, that is a miracle from God, he says. And that life's to be defended. You see, Jack, I can't keep the baby. I got to put the baby up for adoption. But listen, God says, I'm there, man. I honor life. I rejoice, by the way. I thank God. In the last 7 years, recent statistics nationwide in America, guess who's becoming the real defenders of the unborn? It's not my age group. It's not the boomers, the baby boomers, who have turned into the baby bummers. You know who's defending the unborn now? The young people, the young generation. That, my friend, is amazing. It's incredible what's going on. Point number 7, on the college campus, you deal with sexuality and humanity. Well, you say, what do you mean sexuality versus humanity? That's exactly what I mean. Human sexuality versus humanity. You say, how can human sexuality compete against humanity? It's very simple. Very simple. Students are being bombarded today with misinformation. In school books, teachers and systems promoting personal agendas, what's popular, what's culturally trendy, and yet historically dangerous. Human sexuality has been designed by God. Did you know that? How many of you are males in here? Raise your hand. You're a male. Don't raise your hand halfway. How many girls are in here? You're female. Raise your hand. Okay. Did you know there's enough people right here, right now? Not right now. But there's enough people to populate the earth. You think about that. Of course, you have to do what? 2.11%. That's just to sustain. You gotta make kids. But how do you make kids? I'm not gonna get into the details of that tonight. But how do you make kids? This is a very serious thing, because if you're in a sociology class, you got to figure this one out, man. In a sociology class, trends can really upset your science. Okay? Because, listen to this, Genesis 1:21 says, "So God created great sea creatures and everything living that moves, with which the waters abound, according to their kind. Hello? That's amazing. The Bible says according to their DNA. He made sea creatures according to their DNA, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its DNA. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, of the fish, and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Ordered reproduction is how a species continues after its own kind. A male and a female come together. A heterosexual intercourse encounter between a male and a female cannot happen if the species move away from that God-ordained appointment and a male and a male try to reproduce or a female and a female try to reproduce. This is a very serious thing. Human sexuality and humanity is a big deal, because what you need to understand is something that, frankly, you're not hearing about in schools. Or maybe you are, but in an interesting way. You guys want to put that slide up? I think this is from Mount SAC. I think this is from Mount SAC. Anyway, this is a public school book, local university campus, college campus. It's going to be hard to read. Okay, a growing body of research suggests that sexual orientation is innate or rooted in human biology in much the same way that people are born right-handed or left-handed. That's a claim in a school book today, from a classroom today. You read that and you go, And then you just read on and ask what's for lunch. Right? Only problem is, President Bill Clinton commissioned a U.S. Army study in his first year of his presidency to determine if homosexuality is something that you're born with. Because a lot of people are saying that today. U.S. Army Research Laboratory came back and said, there's no evidence. In fact, the only evidence that we have found is that a person who does participate in homosexual sex, there is a mark genetically or biologically that forms from the exchange of the same proteins, which biologically, I'm not talking theologically or I'm not talking any other way, biologically, if you are monogamous, just in scientific application, forget about marriage, if a male and a female are the only ones that are with each other, it's just them, for a protracted period of time, their immune system is actually increased in strength. When you get two females or two men together in interaction, their immune system goes on hyperdrive, which results in a dramatically lower life expectancy, and that's proven by the European Union. Over 10 years of information shows that homosexual conduct shortens your life. See, what's your point? My point is you can't have humanity. If you're an evolutionist in here tonight, you need to think. This is serious. You see, the issue is a sexual choice or preference is made, not science. It's a choice. Bible says it's a choice. Science says it's a choice. But that's not what you're hearing on the campuses today. You just read that a moment ago. But how will our kids know the truth unless they research hard the evidence? Very serious stuff. Stuff that nobody wants to talk about, yet it will destroy a culture. Number 8, freedom versus tyranny. You say, Pastor, now everything, okay, we got everything so far. Freedom versus tyranny on our campuses? Oh, yeah. Very interesting. Socialism. When's the last time you're on a college campus? Socialism's huge. You say, Jack, I was in college in the 60s. It was big then. The only difference is you were on drugs back then, and it protected you from hearing and applying socialism to your life. You were on LSD. You didn't learn a thing about socialism. Socialism is a big deal. Anti-God's a big deal on college campuses. Anti-American statements and sentiment is big on college campuses today. Freedom's under attack. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God. That means live an excellent life. See, what does that have to do with freedom or tyranny? My friend, you can't live an excellent life if socialism were to take over. Everyone is brought down to the same level. No one's allowed to exceed or excel. You can't excel in Russia. You can't excel in China. You've got to stay down among the ranks. Same number, same clothes, same car, same look. Everything. And the moment somebody pops their head up above the radar, in fact, you say, man, you're being mean right now. I tell you what. You look at the cultures of the world who are free, and you will find the greatest scientific and medical, sociological achievements and a standard of living that rises above. I like the way Ronald Reagan put it. He said, "It's America's like a city on a hill." That's only true if we embrace freedom and endorse the fact that anyone sitting in here tonight can live an excellent life to the glory of God, and you can create Microsoft, Apple computer, and the things that this nation has been blessed with. God loves freedom. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God loves freedom. Do you see this nation, by the way, on your campus? Do you hear about it on your campus? Does anybody on your campus say, America? You should love America. Now, I'm a Christian. I love heaven, God first, all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, if you see that God has given you something that's good, don't you want to defend that and promote that and endorse that? I love the fact when you meet foreigners who are moving here, they're immigrating here, and you talk to them. What do you like? Why'd you come here? I love America. I couldn't wait to get here. Those of us who were born Roman, you know what I mean? Paul says, I was born a Roman. If we're born Roman or if we're born American, we have a tendency to take all this stuff for granted. And that's why today, as our freedoms are being plucked from us, we don't really defend them much because it's like, what? Huh? What? What? A lot of the freedoms we have, we don't even know we have. So you don't care if they go away or not. You have freedoms still to this hour that are absolutely amazing that the rest of the world longs to have. It's pretty amazing stuff. Hey, we don't have a slide for this. I want to read you something. Rasmussen poll. Quote, in a recent poll, Americans 30 years of age or under college campuses were asked which economic system works better. A capitalistic or socialistic economic system? Capitalism scored 53%. 47% of those polled said that they were either not sure or believed socialism was better. Adults over 40 years of age heavily favored capitalism, and only 13% of Americans over 40 believed in socialism would possibly be better. Those who were self-employed business owners and or investors said capitalism is better by a 5-to-1 ratio. You say, what did they bring this up for? Because what's very interesting, and if you're on the college campus, you believe in socialism. Give it to me. I don't want to work for it. Just give it to me. And then what happens between 30 years of age and 40? I'll tell you what happens. You buy a house. That will sober you up really quick. You get married. That's another biggie. Probably have a baby or two or 2.11 or one point whatever. You know what? It's amazing what happens to people. Don't we all know them? Were we not them at one time? Hey, man, come on. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Party on. He who dies with the most toys wins. Let's grab all the gusto we can. And then something happens. You meet her or you meet him and fall in love. Get married. And then all of a sudden, you know, you pay. Exactly, I was going to say that. You pay. What's a bill? A bill. We got to pay these bills. Who are those men knocking at our door? Did you pay the bill? We got to pay bills. We get pregnant. We have a baby. And I have seen the most interesting people, and I'm putting it nicely. When the baby comes out, their whole world changes. I got to get life insurance. Where's this kid going to go to college? He's 30 minutes old. And the dad goes, where's he going to college? What do we do? Come on, we got to save. It's amazing. Some of you are going, that'll never happen to me. Just wait. Between 30 and 40, something happens. It's pretty amazing. Freedom. This nation was founded upon the pursuit of freedom. And we saw last Sunday how much of a Christian nation this once was. Number 9, we're almost done. Biblical Christianity versus an Antichrist philosophy. All over campuses today. You stand up on a campus and say you're a Christian, you're going to get laughed at in class. By the way, I told you before last week, some of you thought I made a mistake. I do not think that you should walk into your classroom at school and say, hi everybody, nice to meet you, first day of class, my name's Jack and I'm a Christian. You're insane if you do that. Don't do that. Walk into class and say, hey everybody, my name's Jack. Sit down and zip your lip. And because listen, you ask God, God, open the door for me to share my faith to whom you appoint. Because you will be casting, as Jesus said, the pearl before swine. They don't get it. They don't understand. And when they think Christian, they think of the kooks on so much of Christian TV. This guy's a nut. Let God open the doors. Don't knock them open. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Isn't that a great word? That's 1 Timothy 6:20 to 21. Amazing. And then finally this, number 10, we'll end here. Being a Christian and being on campus, doing what's right versus doing what's wrong. This concerns me, and I saved it for last. Can you imagine, listen, everybody, can you imagine going anywhere in public today? And again, I'm not talking about being a real wacko, weirdo, but can you imagine being in a class and somebody says, you know, what do you think about this video we're about to show in class and this man beats up this homeless man in a wheelchair and takes his $3? Let's talk about that, class. You will hear the most insane things you can imagine. Somebody who says in the class, what that guy did to that homeless man is wrong. Now you got the class going. Wrong, can you define wrong? What does wrong mean? Humanistic situational ethics blends the lines so that if you were to make a judgment call on what is right or wrong, you'll be pounced upon. Because who made you a judge over us? Well, it seems to me that that guy raping that 11-year-old, that's wrong. Well, what you don't know, Smarty Pants, is that he had a very difficult upbringing. Oh, I see. Oh. But the same group will quickly turn around and tell you how wrong it is for you to believe in God. I told you that Noah Webster defined insanity as a mind without God. Consider this equation for a minute. What we are plus what we do equals who we are. You can't separate it. Here's a quiz. If a man steals a horse, when does he become a horse thief? Now, that'll cause a class to be derailed for a year. If a man steals a horse, when does he become, when does he become a horse thief? Well, if you know. Well, according to the law, the moment he stole the horse is when he became the horse thief. Okay. I can't be arrested for what I'm thinking. We'd all be arrested. But the moment I express my thoughts, now I run the risk of being arrested or beat up. Or if you look at my name on the internet, cussed at and cursed at. And so if a man steals a horse, when does he become a horse thief? Well, according to God, the reason why he stole the horse is because he is a horse thief. You don't become a horse thief when you steal the horse. You steal the horse because you're a horse thief. Where does that come from? Right there. Right there. You say, I don't like that. You're hurting my feelings. I know, listen. God says all of us have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Why are you going to go do what you're going to do that offends God? Because it's in your heart to do it. You don't do it and then go, oh my gosh, look what I did. No, you are calling her up and saying, can you meet me there? Why? Because it's in the heart. The young people today need to be able to stand for what's right and for what's wrong. You guys, Jesus called it being salt and light. Jesus also said, when you do that, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. Jesus says they're going to try to beat you for this. You say, I don't believe in God. Well, how about thinking about that for a minute? Jesus says, take a stand for me, you're going to get beat up. I don't believe the Bible's true. I'll tell you what, you want to test it? Stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and God loves all you. And watch how many times you're going to have to duck. Isn't it amazing? Spiritual stuff. Okay, we end right here. Isaiah 5:20. Woe, the word in Hebrew is destruction is en route. Where destruction's coming. Woe! Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Paul said in Ephesians 6, therefore take up. How do you stop that stuff? How do you contend against a culture that's gone? Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means know what the Bible says and live it. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that means know how to tell people the good news. Above all, take the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fire, not some of them, all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, that's a reference to Satan, and take the helmet of salvation, protect your thoughts and your thinking, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Okay, Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in what is quite obviously an impassioned presentation called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. And this is part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called The Life and the Bible Series. You can read more about it online. It is available for purchase. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. To find out more details, just look for the series called The Life and the Bible Series. It's available on CD and DVD. You can take your pick. Visit us at realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.